Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about different aspects of our approach to ministry. We start with the supposition that if we have been reborn as spirit beings, our new nature is to give. That is part of our characteristic, our new characteristic. When we talk about God's nature, his basic nature is love, and the expression of that love is to give. Likewise, we are born of his spirit and have that same family characteristic. We love, and an expression of that love is we give. Now, there are many, many ways of expressing that characteristic. And many parts of our being and how we approach this life here are all expressions or aspects of our new nature. So we don't want to get caught up that what we're even talking about here is the sum or substance of the whole concept of giving. What we're really talking about is that aspect of giving, which is ministry. And when we say ministry, we're looking partially at what especially Western cultures, Western civilization has come to characterize as ministry, not just Christian ministry, but any religious ministry or even a community, you know, social ministry, ministering to people, to others. So when we talk about ministry, from one perspective, it's a social aspect, but from God's perspective, it is giving to others unconditionally what we have received from him unconditionally. So there's a lot of aspects of ministry that God uses to achieve and accomplish his purposes in us. A lot of times we get caught up in what our purpose is, when really when we start to understand and experience God's purposes, our purpose is taken care of. God's purpose is for you to become one, spirit, soul, and body, as he and Jesus, he and the Son and Spirit are all one. So what he is doing in our lives, each one of us as individuals, is to bring us into unity, spirit, soul, and body. When we understand that that's God's purpose, we can see how our spirit has also aligned with that purpose. And we can join him in doing the work that is necessary to bring healing, to quicken our hearing and our relationship with God, to do the work that is necessary to train us to become the overcomers that we already are. You can be born to be an overcomer, but until you actually overcome, you're not an overcomer. You can be born to be king, but until you actually rule, you're not king. So God has made all of us to be kings and rulers and reigners. But until we actually use that authority and exercise our authority over ourselves and over our circumstances, we have not become one in that particular area. We have not been unified. Our soul has not experienced the freedom and the healing with our body following after in a particular area until we have ruled and reigned in that area. Now, one thing to remember, we do not rule or reign over others. Our job here, our challenge here, is not to rule or reign over other people. Whether it's your children, your employees, people of other faiths or religions or cultures, or even over your neighbor, that's not your job. Your job is over yourself, your soul, yourself, life, your soul trying to do its own thing. We're to learn to rule over ourselves and reign or exercise authority over our circumstances. This is a challenge because a lot of us have been taught that there's no objective way to do either one of those. And yet God has made it very plain and clear that since Jesus did it, we shall do that as well. Jesus ruled over his soul and did things that he didn't want to do. And he reigned over his circumstances. The timing of everything that happened in his life was in subjection to him, and he was in subjection to his Father. Things didn't accidentally happen in his life. Likewise, in your life, in my life, things don't accidentally happen. God is in control of all of it. Now, he wants us to be in control of it, have authority, reign over every aspect of the circumstance of our lives. Now, odds are, we'll agree that we all have a long way to go in being so healed and so trained in our soul that we are able to take on the responsibility and the projects that God wants us to be engaged in order to properly, in other words, according to that giving again, reign over our circumstances. If we tried to exercise what we thought our circumstances should look like now, we would mess up everything. We would hurt people. We would hurt ourselves. So God keeps those things veiled. He keeps us blind and diverted from our own authority, our own power that we have right now, until we're ready. So our goal is to find out what are some objective things we can do to become ready, to become available, to be able to say, here am I. And this is where we're talking about the cost of ministry. What it takes for you and I to be engaged in sharing with others unconditionally what God has shared with us. And we've talked about how every single believer, once they become born again, re-spirited, there is that desire born to give to others what has been received. That comes with the new nature. It comes with love. Saying I love you doesn't mean squat. It's when it's paired with an action. That's when it means something. So it's not that you don't ever say it or anything like that, but it can ring hollow. People, don't be thinking that, okay, if I tell you I love you, that's all I need to do. So when we look at ministry, just saying I'm a minister, saying I'm sharing with you what God has given me, if there's not action, if it doesn't have an effect on you, it's empty words. And this is one of the ways we evaluate ministries. Are you being taught something practical that when you do it, it causes change in your life? This can be a challenge when we look at different ministries that have been around for a long time, and the same people have belonged to a ministry for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and haven't changed, have not grown up into Christlikeness in any way, shape, or form. And yet that's okay. They're still considered mature Christians simply because they're old. Now, we don't want to get too far afield in this, but we want to understand that in ministry, everybody who has been born again has entered ministry. We call that level of ministry the school of the Spirit, where you are entering a relationship with God with the understanding that He, the Spirit of God, is going to teach you. That there is a hunger and a thirst that is born in you for more of Him. Now, how you get that education very often is interrupted and is usurped from the Spirit by religion, by what's going on in a particular fellowship. But there is a starting point where we all start with the school of the Spirit, with the understanding that if you are, we're all at least in the school of the Spirit, and hopefully participating in healing and learning to hear His voice. And most Christians fall into this category of belonging and being taught in the school of the Spirit. Unfortunately, they never graduate. They never go any farther. They're happy there, or they may not even know that there's more. But if they're attuned and aware of that inner drawing to know God better and to be available on a more personal level where God can heal them more and can reveal Himself more and can share Himself more so that we can in turn share more. The next level of school of education is the school of the prophets. For the friends of God. Now, the school of the Spirit is for the children of God. That's all saints. So there's children of God, then there are the friends of God, whom God can share a little bit more about what He's doing. Because there's a little bit more trust, there's a little bit more preparation. There's a little bit more reliability in that He has been able to make a way in us through healing, through education, through training. Now, when we talk about School of the Prophets, we're simply talking about sharing with others what God has shared with us. saying, this is what I believe God has for us. This is what I believe God has for you. This is not about talking specifically about an office of prophet, or as in the fivefold ministry. And we've talked a little bit about that before, but we're talking here about that everyone who hears from God and shares what they hear, that is prophetic, because that's all prophecy is sharing what we hear. Now, the degree of clarity, where it's unfiltered by our own flesh, by our own need for healing, our own history, and how well we see and taste and know God, these are all factors on how clear we hear from God and then how clear we can share with others. So the more time we spend with God as his friend, dining with him, spending time just being with him, the more he is able to make us able to share without any interference what is on his heart, what is on his mind, as he chooses. Because a lot of times God just likes to share what he's doing without having to say, okay, now don't tell anybody. Instead, it should be, don't tell, you know, we are not to share unless he says share. He likes to have his secrets. He likes to be able to trust us. Because there are so many ways to misunderstand what he's doing. And that's something for all of us to remember, is that we hear and we see what people are doing in the name of God, such as that is, and if it falls flat, we blame the person that they are a false prophet or they're trying to mislead people, when really it's just that's an area that God has not revealed himself purely, or that there's been a misinterpretation. In other words, they made a mistake. They did the best they could, just wasn't that good. And we need to let them be at the place they're at. This is true for all of us. We should all be able to be saying, yes, I'm a prophet of God, because I hear from him and I share what I hear. And in effect, that's not that big of a deal, because we should all want to be more than children of God. But in addition to being children, we should all want to be friends. And hopefully, after this series, you will say, Lord, how can I be a friend? I want to be more than just your child. I want to know you. I want to know everything you have for me is what I want. Don't let me be satisfied with anything less than everything you want for me. Now, there are consequences to that, because God takes us up on that. When we say, Lord, I want more, he says, okay. Now, the name of this section is counting the cost of ministry. Because the more you want to know God, the more hunger and thirst is stirred up in you to know him and then to share with others what he reveals, the higher the cost. It doesn't cost anything to go to kindergarten. Doesn't cost anything to be in the school of the Spirit. It's for everybody. You just show up. You just are. Likewise, in the school of the prophets, the tuition is fairly low. You can control to some degree how much of God you want. If you just want to, for instance, play with the gifts of the Spirit, he's okay with that. God knows how wounded and unlearned we are. And so he provides opportunity to deal with those things, but he doesn't force us. Now, for many, there's also that desire to know him even beyond that. And yet when they start seeing what the cost is, the cost, especially in the Lord's healing, in our to deal with our wounds, and the cost, the challenge to our ways of thinking, our beliefs, our history, our how we spend our resources, our time, our material things. These are all areas where we say, you know, Lord, I want to do anything you want me to do. And then when he says, okay, go do this, we say, you know, on second thought, you know, what is that? The rich young ruler said, Lord, you know, what must I do to enter the kingdom? And Lord, God said, this is what you need. Jesus said, this is what you need to do. And he said, I've done all of that. And he goes, I can see you have. The only thing you have left is to sell all you have and come follow me. And that was the one thing that he couldn't do. And he turned away very sad. So there are different levels. Now, he was a perfectly wonderful believer, follower of Christ. But he wanted more without having to pay for more. So we want to understand that as we experience more thirst, more hunger for more of God, that the cost increases. And we refer to that additional step after the School of the Prophets for the Friends of God is the King's College for the Sons of God. Now, when we say sons of God, remember, in spirit, there's neither male nor female. In your soul, there's neither male nor female. So regardless of your gender, regardless of your age, you are already born a son of God. It's just you're not acting like one. As you graduate from kindergarten and graduate from the School of the Prophets and are going beyond being a friend and beginning to understand the inheritance you have as a son of God, not the son of God, a son of God, you begin to accept more from our Father without explanation, without understanding. And if he says something, we don't argue. We accept that we aren't going to understand everything he says or does. And we're okay with that because we're so confident in his love for us. And we're so confident that we are hearing and experiencing his voice and his love, that through trial and error, we have tested what we have heard. That confidence that, yes, this is the Lord. This is the way. We can walk in it. And even when we've not been this way before, we can walk boldly because we have been before the throne of grace. We've been before our Father. We've been with him. And we know how to receive everything he has for us. We know how to go to him for more knowledge if necessary, for healing if necessary, for direction and correction if necessary. We are confident in our relationship with him. So this is a matter of different layers of training, different layers of relationship that don't change our skill levels. We don't become a more supernaturally gifted. It's not about what we do. It's about what we allow God to do in us. In kindergarten, in the School of the Spirit, we only allow God to play with us. We want to do things that are fun and exciting, but we really don't want to be accountable. In the School of the Prophets, where we're the friends of God, we still want to maintain control of parts of our lives. And there's certain things we don't want to go there. We, you know, God, you can be there for when I die, but right now I really want to do things my own way. And we still want to maintain a friendship, but not a one-ship, being one in him. But there's, for some who have had that taste of a oneness with God, there's that King's College. When we understand we are co-inheritors with Jesus as our older brother, it gives us that desire to endure the training and of the school of the prophets and answer God's invitation to join the King's College. When the Lord asks, who will go for us? We answer, here am I, send me. Now this is unconditional, because he didn't say, okay, who will go for us? We need somebody to do this, that, or the other thing. It's like, no. He says, I have an agenda. Who will do it? You're signing up sight unseen simply on the basis of your confidence in who is signing you up. God says, I have a need. I have a desire. I want to do something. Who wants to do it? The sons of God say, I'll do it. This is the difference between going for God and being sent by him. There is that agreement without knowing where the path will lead or what the cost will be, but knowing that his hand leads. In him, we live, we move, and have our being in reality. We are consumed and transformed without understanding or agreement, just recognizing that the life we share with him is an opportunity to know him that will never be available again. Something's available on this earth, a relationship with God, that may not ever be available in anything to come or in the past. So we need to consider to take full advantage of this opportunity, regardless of the cost. This kind of ministry accomplished by us, through us, is unnoticed by us, except as an extension of the hands of our beloved. Even though we are involved in doing miracles, changing lives, changing countries, changing water into wine, we say, see what God has done. Now, tuition is everything you have, everything you own, everything you expect, and everything else. So we expect to give up all our expectations. All our identity, past, our present, and future. Your thirst for fellowship and encouragement is satisfied here only by God himself. So although you may still be in the exact same circumstances, the same relationships, those circumstances and relationships no longer satisfy. Your reward and compensation, likewise, comes solely through him, even when others are used to satisfy. God reveals himself, consuming, liberating, bringing that oneness that overwhelms any uniqueness and selfness that we once worked so hard to free. So many of us are so consumed with being different, yet God says, be one with me. This is eternal life. To know God now, as he is now. So we'll pick it up there next week. Drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org if you have any questions or feedback. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.